Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
What a beautiful morning it is.
Yes.
Aren't we blessed in Perth?
Yes.
We've got to have the best weather in the world. Would you agree with that? My son's gone over to live in Melbourne. He's been there for 3 months, and he hasn't been warm yet. How many of you know that today is Palm Sunday? It's Palm Sunday. That's the day we remember Jesus came into Jerusalem, and what an exciting occasion that was. And the people came out to meet him. The children came out to meet him. And they praised him so loud that the Pharisees got offended. And they said to Jesus, tell them to be quiet. And Jesus said, do you remember? He says, if they are quiet, the stones will cry out and praise me. What a wonderful day that was, being invited. They came out to invite him in to their city. They were so pleased to see him. They were so glad to see him. They were rejoicing. It was an incredible time. Palm Sunday. Within 5 days, they were nailing him to a cross. Palm Sunday, they welcomed him in. Friday, they dragged him out and crucified him. How fickle people are. Would you agree with that? They rejected him. The one they shouted their highest praise to, they actually rejected him. This is what the prophet Isaiah said would happen 700 years before Jesus came. He says this in Isaiah 53. Who has believed our message? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, like a root out of dry ground. Speaking of Jesus, he had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Jesus was despised and rejected. They welcomed him, then they rejected him. You know, rejection is a terrible thing. To reject means to discard as useless or unsatisfactory, to throw out, to refuse to accept, to refuse to have or own. To be rejected means not wanted. Now, we understand rejection when it comes to a lot of things that we want to throw out. Every one of you have got a rubbish bin. And what's in that rubbish bin? Rejected stuff. Right? Stuff you've thrown out, stuff that's no good. I was reading that in Birmingham, in England, I come from Nottingham, which is not too far from Birmingham. Huge city is Birmingham. Millions of people, they've got a strike there and no rubbish is being collected. So the bins are outside with all this rejected stuff and it's stinking. It's smelling and the rats and cockroaches are having a wonderful time. And we think of rejection, something you throw out, something that's no good, something that's horrible. And so we can understand that when it comes to things, food and things like that. But what about people that are rejected? What about when a person is rejected? How horrible is that? How painful is that? Rejection comes in many forms. There are many situations that show this. Marriage breakdown, bullying, racial discrimination, politics, just to mention a few. In fact, wars are often caused by rejection. Life is full of experiences of rejection. Sadly, it never stops. You live in a world that rejects itself. A world that is split. A world that is angry. A world where there's no unity. Where there's no peace. A world of rejection. we see teenagers today committing suicide because they've been looking into their social media and they're being bullied. Teenagers get bullied and rejected and kill themselves. So do adults. Many marriages break down because of rejection. All of you here, all of you, have experienced rejection in one form or another. And if you haven't, you will do before very long. That's the world in which you live. We live in a world that shows rejection. We discriminate between the color of our skin. We discriminate between so many things, politics. We live in a world that's absolutely messed up and that's falling apart, full of rejection, and everybody's trying to fix it. Religion tries to fix it. Guess what? Makes it worse. Religion does not help the broken world in which we live. Politics tries to mend this world. Guess what? Doesn't work. Politics causes more problems than anything else. We do all things. Science tries to make this world a better world. All kinds of things. We do all that we can to mend this broken world without success. We can't. I remember talking to a man once. And he said this expression when talking to me. Oh, this godforsaken world. And the way he said it, it was almost like he was saying, God has forsaken the world. And I said to him, you just says godforsaken world. Do you mean God has forsaken the world, or the world has forsaken God? And he looked at me. I said, let me just tell you something. This world in which we live is in a mess, not because God has forsaken it, but because we have forsaken God. Come on. Tells us in John chapter 1 that Jesus came to his own and his own received him not. It says he was in the world was made by him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own received him not. He was a rejected man. But then it goes on to say, but as many as did receive him, to them he gave power to become sons of God. Hallelujah. See, God has not rejected us. We have rejected him. This is a God-forsaken world. Yes, it is. But it's a world that's forsaken God. You know, the scripture says that if we will draw near to God, God will draw near to us. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me. And often people say, well, you know, why do we have to come? Why don't he come to us? And this is a problem with so many people and Christians. They're waiting for God to come to them as if he hasn't. James says, you come to God. You come to him. You draw near to him. You. And then he will draw near to you. And you may say to me, well, why? Why doesn't God come to us? Well, he has. I've just quoted you the scripture. He was in the world. The world was made by him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own received him not. God has already come to us. He's already sent his son Jesus to die for us. God has done his part. He has made the first step. And what did we do? We crucified him. What did we do? We rejected him. What would we do? We wanted nothing to do with him at all. We discarded him as being not wanted. How sad. Many years ago, I was in England, living in England, and I was a young Christian at the time. I was watching a television program. I've told you this before. And it was called the Brains Trust. And where you got a panel of highly educated people discussing things. And what caught my attention this night was that there were two men and two women, very intelligent, highly educated individuals, and they'd been given a subject to discuss. And the subject was the insanity of Jesus. That's what they were discussing. Seriously, they were actually discussing the insanity of Jesus. So I watched it, looked at it, and they were actually saying Jesus Christ was insane. That's what they were saying. And then sometime later, a man said that to me. I was talking to him, witnessing to him. He said, Jesus Christ was insane. And I said, how do you make that out? He said, well, all the things he said and all that. I said, okay, quote me something he said. And he couldn't. No, just tell me what he said. And the guy couldn't. I said, you're saying Jesus Christ is insane. You haven't read the Bible, have you? You've never read Matthew, Mark, Luke or John. And he looked at me sheepish and he said, no. I said, well, don't talk stupid then. Why don't you go and read about him and see if he's insane, what do you think are the kinds of things that he would be saying? So I said, well, I have read the Bible. For many, many years I've read the Bible. So I'll tell you some of the things that Jesus said. Jesus said you should love one another. Jesus said you should care for one another. Jesus says you shouldn't steal. You shouldn't kill. You shouldn't murder. You should not covet your neighbor's wife. You should live in a way that people see it and realize something is wonderful about you. The way you want people to deal with you, Jesus said, that's how you should deal with them. The way you want people to respect you is the way you should respect them. Now, are you hearing all what I'm saying? He says, care for one another. Love one another. Be compassionate to one another. Does that sound like an insane person to you? Does it? Well, if it is, I feel sorry for you. Because I look out there in this world in which I live, and I've lived in this world for many, many years, and do I hear that? No, what do I hear? Fighting, arguing, violence, anger, greed, malice. There's so many things out there that are so wrong. People just want to chop each other up. Look at America right now with its politics. America is a divided country. The richest country in the world, but the most divided nation on earth. Come on. If you're a Republican, they want to stone you to death. If you're a Democrat, they want to stone you to death. And if you're an independent, they definitely want to stone you to death. This is America I'm talking about. Split. Divided. And listen to what people are saying out there. They're saying things that I never thought that I would hear. I never thought I'd live long enough to hear what they're saying out there. How that a man can become a woman. Come on. And that a man can have a baby. Come on. Come on. This is a world in which they're saying it, they're shouting it, they're speaking it. And if you speak out against it, you could be in trouble. Wokeism is mad. And yet if you speak out against it, you're the one that's mad. You're the one that's in trouble. I hear, you know, we keep on about trying to not have racial discrimination. But everybody talks about it. Everybody keeps bringing it up. Everybody talks about everybody being racist. It happens all the time. I look at this world in which I live, and I think to myself, the world's gone mad. And they're telling me that my Jesus is insane. Well, if he's insane, great. I want to follow that kind of insanity. Makes more sense to me. Amen? Amen. Come on, can I have a better amen than that? Amen. Amen. If Jesus is insane, so am I. In fact, the Bible says, the Apostle Paul says, we are fools for Christ's sake. Come on. The world looks at us and calls us fools. Well, that's okay. And when this brain trust was sitting there talking about the insanity of Jesus, I'm thinking to myself, you don't know him. Now, let me tell you, I have lived long enough to meet insane people. Come on, I've met a few in my time. Actually, most of the world's insane now. Once, when I first became a Christian, I was at work witnessing to some people, and these guys said to me, you're narrow-minded, you are, Warwick. You're just a narrow-minded individual believing in Jesus. You're narrow-minded. I said, hang on a minute. No way. You're more narrow than me. Because when I became a Christian, my spirit was given life. I am body, soul, spirit, all alive. You're not. You're a body, a soul with a dead spirit. You're more narrow than me. Come on, it's true. I'm wholesome in Jesus. Then I had another occasion, a man came to me and I was witness to him, and he says, Jesus Christ is the greatest con man this world has ever seen. I said, what? He said, don't talk to me about Jesus. He's the greatest con man this world has ever seen. So I stopped and I thought about it. And I says, he's a con man. The greatest con man. This guy said, the greatest con man this world has ever seen. And I said, well, look, if he was a con man, he wasn't the greatest. In fact, he was pretty rotten at it. Because he didn't have any money. He didn't have any property. He didn't have a bank book. And at the age 33, they crucified him. Does that sound like a great con man to you? The con people that I know have got money. And not only have I met a few insane people, I've met a lot of con men and women as well. And I'll tell you something about con men and con women. They got money. Yours. Come on, that's why the con, you know what I'm saying? They got property. A lot of them got power. Jesus Christ, if he was a con man, he was a lousy one. He was rotten at the job. When they crucified him, all he had was the clothes that he went to the crucifixion. And they took them off him. And they crucified him naked. He had no bank account. He had nothing. 33 years of age, they crucified him. Don't tell me he was the greatest con man. If he was a con man, he was pathetic. He was not a con man at all. If he was not insane, and if he was not a con man, you're left with one more thing. What he said was the truth. He was either telling the truth, or he was insane, or he was a con man. Well, he wasn't a con man, because I proved that he was useless. He wasn't insane, because what he spoke was absolute beautiful, wonderful things. He cared for people. I mean, he cared for the down and out. He cared for those who other people didn't care for. He fed the poor. He blessed the children. He cared for women. In that day and age, women were nothing. He lifted them. He lifted their status. He cared for people who were downtrodden. Hey, come on. That's the kind of guy that I want. If he was not a con man, if he's not insane, then you're left with the next thing. What he said was true. What one other guy said to me once, John, what happens if at the end there's nothing? What happens if all what you've been saying is absolutely not true and you die and there's nothing? And I said, well, let's think about that for a moment, shall we? If I die and there's nothing, and you do, well, we don't know about it. Because there's nothing. I said, think about it, there's nothing. But if what I'm saying is true, I'm going to heaven and you're going to hell. He didn't like me saying that, but it's true. If there's nothing, I say, okay, if there's nothing, I don't know about it because there's nothing. If you're dead, you're dead. There's nothing. And I said to him, but listen, I'm alive now. And if there's nothing down the track and I've been mistaken, that the Bible is not true, I've been mistaken. In the years that I've been mistaken, they've been good years. I'm what you call a happy Christian. Come on. I'm happy to be in church today. I'm happy with the way of life I've got. Now listen to this. I wasn't brought up in a Christian home. I was brought up in a dysfunctional home. I got five sisters. I had five sisters, three brothers, a dad that was a drunkard, the mum that liked the booze as well. Totally dysfunctional. I was next to the youngest. I had dyslexia, a learning problem. When I left school, I could hardly read or write. I was a bad lad. I got always in trouble with the police. I don't know what would have happened to me if I hadn't become a Christian. But listen to this. I became a Christian, and half of my family I was able to lead to Jesus. I've lived a long life, and I only have two sisters left. All the rest have died. I'm still going, as you can see. But all of my family that rejected Jesus, they were miserable. Their marriages were failures. They were sick in their body. They just lived miserable, moaning, groaning lives. I came to Jesus. I crossed the line. I know what it is to be there. I know what it is to belong to a gang and fight. I know what it is to bully. I know what it is to steal. I know what it is to be in trouble with the police. I've been there. I also know what it is to receive Jesus Christ and to follow him. And I'm telling you, you're looking at one happy man. If at the end there's nothing, well, my life has been happy anyway. Come on. I'm not a miserable Christian, are you? I hope you're not. You're not too sure about that, are you? If you're a miserable Christian, shame on you. You've got the best thing ever, Jesus. Jesus is the most rejected man in the world. But I follow him. I follow the person who's rejected, mocked, laughed at, scoffed by this world. For 2,000 years, this world has tried to destroy Jesus Christ. And he is popular today. Hallelujah. Over 2 billion people on planet Earth confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. You can't get rid of Jesus. I'm going to tell you why. Because he's not dead. They didn't lay him in a grave. His body didn't turn to ashes or to dust. He's alive. That's why he's popular, because he is alive. And people come to him and find life when they come to Jesus. How amazing. I love somebody that's been rejected by this world. I love somebody that this world calls a maniac. I love somebody that this world says is a con man. I love him. I love him. I love him. I want to keep on following him, because I've never found anybody like him. And when I became a Christian, you know what I decided to do? I decided to study the religions of the world. So I've studied Hinduism. I've studied Buddhism. I've studied the Muslim faith. I've studied all the faiths. And I've studied Jesus. Just let me tell you this. Hinduism, Buddhism, Muslims, they are doctrines that people follow. I don't follow doctrines. I follow a man. His name is Jesus. I am not religious. They are religious. And I'll tell you something. When people make Christianity religion, it's as bad as any of the other religions. I've met religious Christians that I wouldn't give you tuppence for, because it's just religion. I am not religious. I follow someone who is alive and well. His name is Jesus. And do you know what Jesus means? Savior. Every time you say Jesus, you say Savior. That's what the name means. The Lord is our Savior. Jesus. People curse that name. People blaspheme that name. People get angry and say, oh, Jesus Christ. Do you know what they're saying? Savior. Christ means the anointed one. They're actually saying anointed Savior. What idiots. They don't realize who he is. They're saying his name, but don't realize he is their Savior if they let him be. Drug addicts say Jesus Christ in blasphemy. Murderers do. Rapists do. Thieves do. Violent people do. If only they realize they're saying the name of the one who can save them from their sin. Save them from their violence. Save them from their addictions. Jesus sets us free. Hallelujah. Now, I reckon what I just said, I think that was pretty good preaching. No, I think it was pretty good because it's the truth. It's the truth. And the world may mock and the world may laugh and the world may scoff. But there's a wonderful scripture that says, let this mind, it's from Philippians, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Though he was in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. He took upon himself the form of a man, of a servant, became like in fashion as a man. And he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. That's what the Bible says. Jesus humbled himself to do the Father's will and die for us. And this is what it says. Because of that, therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. A lot of my family blasphemed God in front of me. I was at work with some men who used to get so angry because I was witness about Jesus, and come and spit on the floor in front of me and call me the most foulest of names, and then call Jesus the most foulest of names. Well, I'm going to tell you something. The day is going to come when those people, all the unbelievers, all those who rejected him, all those who turned their back on him, all those who've mocked him, the day will come when they will bow their knee and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. For them, we'll be too late. If you're going to confess him as Lord, don't wait till the judgment. That's too late. You'll confess him because God will make sure that you'll see who he is and you'll confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But the best thing to do is confess him now. Amen. Come on, while nobody's twisting your arm up your back. Have the guts, have the courage to say, I'm going to stand for Jesus. I'm going to follow Jesus. Unless you can point to me in this world, somebody better. What about Donald Trump? Huh? What about Biden? What about Carmela? I could go through the list. And none of you want to follow those people with your life. You wouldn't trust your life to any of them. Come on. No king. No president. No dictator. You wouldn't trust your life to any of them. In fact, a lot of you won't even trust your lives to anybody at all. Well, I trust my life to Jesus. Amen. The one who's despised and rejected by this world. The one who crucified and died a horrible, horrible death. Do you know what was amazing when they arrested Jesus? They welcomed him into the Jerusalem. The first thing he did when he got into Jerusalem, he started to turn the tables over in the temple. They'd made it into a marketplace, and he got angry. He drove them out. They weren't expecting that. So they plotted that they could kill him. And when they arrested him, listen to this, they brought him before Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor. He was a top guy in the land. They'd sent him to Herod to be tried as well, and to Caiaphas, but it was Pilate who could make a decision whether he was to die or not. So they got him before Pilate and said, "This man deserves to die." So he took him away and he examined him. And they'd got people that were lying about Jesus, saying what a criminal he was and he deserves to die. So Pilate listened to them. And of course, Pontius Pilate in Jerusalem at that time was representing the top guy, the Caesar. Caesar ruled the world. You never lied to Caesar. One lie to Caesar and you're dead. Pontius Pilate, who was a governor, stood for that. You lie to the governor and you're dead. So when he examined Jesus amongst these people who were coming with lies, they were not very convincing at all because they were afraid. Pilate then brought Jesus out and he said, "I find no fault in him. What has he done?" All the people were there, all the Pharisees, they were crying out for his blood, "Crucify him." So he sent him away then to be flogged. And the Roman soldiers stripped him naked and flogged him back and forward. He was a massive, a mess, bloody mess. He would have been horrible to look at. And while that was happening, Pontius Pilate's wife, listen to this, his wife sent a messenger to him and said, "Don't have anything to do with that Jesus. I've had some dreams about him. He's a righteous man." That's what his wife told him. And she was a Roman. So after he'd been horribly beaten, they brought him out again. Pilate was in. Jesus was now standing in front of the crowd. Horrible. A mass of blood. Weak. Terrible beating. They plucked his beard. They beat him on the face. They spat upon him, the Romans had. And then Pilate says, "Here is the man." Thinking, well, now, you know, you'll let him go now. Look what I've done to him. And they shouted, "Crucify him. Crucify him. We won't have this man rule over us." And Pilate says, "Why? He's done nothing that deserves death." So do you know what Pilate did? He had him crucified. Now stop and think of this. Why were the Pharisees crying out for the death of Jesus? These were religious reasons. They were jealous. Why did Pilate have him crucified when Pilate had complete power to let him go? Pilate's reason was political. He was afraid because the Pharisees said, "We will let Caesar know that you didn't crucify this man who's making himself to be a king." And so he crucified him out of politics. The Jews crucified him out of jealous religion. They crucified him. He'd already been mercilessly beaten. And then they nailed him to a Roman cross, and for 6 hours he was on that cross before he died. His own mother would not have recognized him. She stood at the cross. She would not have recognized that bloody face that she saw. His face was disfigured with the beating. They rejected him. Well, let me tell you, that one on the cross that they rejected, I received. I said, "Jesus, you be my Savior. Jesus, you forgive me. Jesus, you help me to follow you all the days of my life." I said that prayer, listen to this, 69 years ago. I'm still following Jesus. I've never got tired of him. I've never got upset with him. I've never found that once has he let me down. I let him down. I've sinned against him. I've failed him over and over again. But he keeps forgiving me. He keeps cleansing me. And I want to just follow him and be more like him. He's rejected. He's disowned. But the Bible says as many as received him, he gave power to become the sons of God. You're looking today at a Christian. A lot of you are Christians here. I'm looking back at Christians. You love Jesus. You follow Jesus. A lot of you here are prepared to die for Jesus if you had to. Right now, in Iran, there is a revival taking place. People are giving up the Muslim faith and turning to Jesus by the hundreds. They've had to go underground because of the regime of the Muslims, that if you change your religion, you're dead. Particularly if you're a woman, you will be persecuted and put to death. Many Iranians are turning to Jesus because there's nothing better than Jesus. Many are prepared to die for him. Just last year, in Germany, I met an Iranian guy who'd come out of the country. He was in Germany, and I'd already heard that there was a revival, and he saw it firsthand because he got born again himself. He got saved. And he says, it's so wonderful to have Jesus Christ in your heart. I spent some time with him, helping him, teaching him, and he was so full of the joy of the Lord. And many people are prepared to die for that man that this world rejected. Come on. And I'm finishing with this last thought. Jesus said when he was speaking on one occasion, if you disown me before people and you disown my word, the day will come when I will disown you before my Father in heaven. Now, right now, let me say this in closing. This is not a God-forsaken world. This world has forsaken God. God has not yet forsaken this world. God reaches out in love. He sees all the wickedness, all the stupidity, all the pain, all the anguish, all the prejudice, all the pride. But he still loves us. And he's still reaching out and he's still saying, come to me. All you who are weary, heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Come to me. But the day will come when judgment will come on this earth. And let me tell you this, that's not far to go now. Wouldn't surprise me if I'm still around when Jesus returns. Wouldn't surprise me at all. I'm an old bloke now, but I'm telling you what, he's going to come soon. Come on. And when he comes, I'm going to go to be with him for eternity. I'm going to welcome him with open arms. Oh, come soon, Lord Jesus. But for those who don't welcome him, for those who rejected him, guess what's going to happen to them? God will then reject them. Oh, whoa. The cross is the epitome of rejection. The cross stands out in this world as the epitome of rejection. The world rejects itself. The world kills itself. The world mutilates itself. The cross stands there as the epitome of rejection, because the greatest rejection of all was the rejection of God's Son who came to save the world. That is the epitome of rejection. And that cross that saves sinners from death, that cross will condemn the whole of mankind who do not believe. That will become God's rejection of them. One day, this world will be judged. The nations will be judged. And God will reject those who rejected Jesus. Well, I thank God that I haven't rejected him. I've not been the best Christian in the world. No. I don't know who is. We all fail. But he's never let me down once. He's my Lord and my Savior. What about you? I don't know everybody here. I don't know what your heart is like. I don't know if there's things inside you now that you know you've done wrong. You've really done wrong. You know you've failed. And you know I need forgiveness. I don't want to face God with this guilt and shame on me. I want it washed away. I want it cleansed. I want to face God not through that cross. I want to face him through the resurrection. Because Jesus left my sin in the grave. Hallelujah. He left my weakness in the grave. And he rose and left it there. Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, come into my heart. Jesus, help me to live for you. Just close your eyes, everybody. Bow your head. Nobody look around, please. I feel God's spoken to quite a few people here today. Spoken to me as well as I've preached. You can receive the gift of eternal life today if you put your trust in Jesus. But you've got to do it. You've got to come to him. James, who wrote that book that says, draw near to God, come near to God, he was a brother of Jesus, the younger brother of Jesus. He was saying, come to God. You come. You draw near to him. And God will draw near to you. I want to pray for people today who know that they need forgiveness. You know that you don't want to face God right now without your sins being forgiven. I want to pray for you. If you want forgiveness and you want Jesus to cleanse you and you're prepared to accept him, the rejected one by this world, but you accept him and follow him because you know he's alive. If you want to follow Jesus and be forgiven, let me pray for you. Just raise your hand so I can see it and I will pray for you. If there's anybody here that would say, yeah, I need forgiveness. Anybody at all that knows you need forgiveness. God bless you. Thank you. Anybody else? I need forgiveness. Yes, God bless you. Thank you. Anyone else? Come on, I know God's speaking to people. Don't be shy. Don't reject him. God bless you. Yes, I see your hand at the back. God bless you. Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, God bless you. I see your hand. Anybody else? I'm going to pray in a moment. Yes, God bless you. Thank you. I see your hand. Yes, I see your hand. I'm going to ask one more time, then I'm going to pray because time is gone. Is there anybody else? Yes, God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to say a prayer. And I want everybody in this room to repeat it. Not just you who raise your hands. I want you who raise your hands to repeat this prayer out loud with everybody else. So that you're not, you know, you won't be embarrassed. Everybody's going to say this prayer after me. But it's a prayer that you're asking God. It's a prayer of forgiveness. Say this prayer after me. Heavenly Father, I realize I'm a sinner. And I ask you to forgive me. Come into my heart. Make me a new person. I receive your love. I receive your peace. And I receive your forgiveness. Wash me, Jesus, in your blood. Give me the gift of eternal life. Help me to follow you all the days of my life. I ask it in your precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. How old are you? Yeah. I believe God got hold of you today. There's been a bit of a battle going on, a bit of a tug of war, but he's got you. Don't run away from him. What you've heard this morning is the truth. And I believe God's really spoken to your heart. Stay with him. There'll be temptation to pull away. But I'm telling you, if you will stay to God, God will do something great in your life that you would never have believed possible. Okay? I really believe that with all of my heart. God bless you. Thank you, everybody. And all of us, aren't we glad that we're following Jesus? Come on. Are you glad that you followed the rejected one? And whatever rejections we get in life, we get them. It's nothing compared with what he got. Amen. But the wonderful thing is, he'll never reject us. God bless you all. Thank you.